Okay, I'm gonna call this meeting to order. You want to do roll call?
Let the record reflect that Commissioner Yep will not be in attendance this afternoon, and alternate Commissioner Robertson was unable to attend. Commissioner Magzig.
Here.
Commissioner Parra.
Here.
Commissioner Santoyo.
Here.
Chair Mendez.
Yeah, I think I'm here. Okay, now we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. Nathan, you want to lead us?
You got it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this is time for general comments from the public. Anyone wishing to address the commission on a subject not listed on the agenda may do it this time. Okay? Go ahead. I think all right.
Members of LAPCO, Charlie Maxwell, 10925 Rusty Spur Lane, Clovis. I'm here on a LAFCO issue for North Fresno. We've been attempting to resolve a property line issue. Take a moment to explain it. I have property at 10645 North Lanes Road, which is the old Fresno County Sportsman Club. My family acquired that about a year and a half ago. We're in the process of renovating it. And in the process of renovating it, we are inundated with homeless people and one-way traffic seeking access to the San Joaquin River. For those of you who don't know the Sportsman Club, if you go to the intersection of Fryant and Rice Road, directly north of there is Republic Transfer Station. Right short of their entrance is Lanes Road that you turn west on. As you turn west on the north side of the street, there is two homes, Clay Davis, who's an architect for Teeter Engineering here in Fresno, and Dave Bronsert, who's retired. On the south side, there's a property that belongs by San Joaquin River Conservancy. There is our club, and then what used to be the old Fort Washington Beach. So why I'm here is I'm trying to find somebody to help us out in terms of, we started this process because the city of Fresno annexed our property into their city some 13 years ago, but the dividing line was down the center of Lanes Road. And so to get the city of Fresno to allow us to place a cul-de-sac at the end of the road is we needed to have that property donated from the county to Fresno so Fresno could accept it. Then we come to an issue of that gets done by Steve White, Director of Public Works at the county, and is sent to the city of Fresno. And then it becomes an issue with Fresno that, wait a second, they donated that to us, but what you donated is beyond our sphere of influence, which is why I'm here to say, okay, can we kick the sphere of influence 30 feet north and get this property annexed? When I took over the old county sportsman club, I had over 30 homeless people on the property. That took me over a month to get them located someplace else. Every day I have half a dozen cars come down Lanes Road for no apparent reason other than read the signs that say private property. North of all of us is Vulcan Material, which is in the process of creating their regional park as they do reclamation for their sand and gravel permit. Their permit for removing gravel has been retired. And so that's in the process. People like to get access to the San Joaquin River, but our Lanes Road is all private. Vulcan has offered to, at the end of the cul-de-sac, put in a motorized gate for Dave Bronsert. We will put in the rest of the chain link fence, the rest of the signage that says, this is all private, folks. That's what has been discussed. That's what we've been moving on. But it's getting a little long in the tooth. It's 2.5 years. So I contacted your new director, Brian. He said, okay, let's see what we can do. I just need somebody to pick it up and say, can we get these two teams, the county and Fresno, to agree on a path and get us taken care of?
Okay, thank you.
A question I have on that is there something that needs to be submitted, an application, or is there something we can do to expand the sphere of influence to deal with an issue like this? It seems like a de minimis issue, but curious to know what process needs to be followed.
So generally it's my understanding that a sphere does not have like a map legal description.
So it tends to be essentially just a line on a map. The general consensus is that when it comes down to where on the side of a right-of-way that falls, the idea is just like when we do annexations, we ask to annex the full width right-of-way. So we basically have the understanding with different cities that whenever a sphere ends up somewhere near a roadway, it includes the full right-of-way.
Is it possible for us to issue a letter saying that it's our understanding that the full road is in the city's jurisdiction, it's not from the middle point?
So, I have been in discussion with the city about this issue previously. I did get the maps and legals from the annexation. This is the first I've heard of them having any concerns with where the sphere ends up. So I have a note here to follow up with them on that question and make sure that we can get that resolved.
And, Chairman, I normally don't comment, but Steve White, our Public Works Director, actually reached out to me about this issue, and he said, to the extent that LAFCO can just modify the sphere or make clear to the city that the whole road is in the city of Fresno's sphere, it'll make this process easier because they're confused about, is it in the middle of the road or the full road? So what I understand needs to be done, if it's a full road right-of-way, there's no issue. The city then can act and do whatever they need to do. So if you can work with Steve White to resolve this issue as well as the city of Fresno, if that doesn't require anything to be brought back to us, and if my board members would agree to that, I think that would be important to get this issue resolved that's been going on for over 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's fine. That sounds like a workable solution.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any potential conflicts of interest on the board? Hearing none, we'll go to consent agenda items. This is items 5A through D.
Just if we can pull the financial audit for fiscal year 21-22. I just have some general questions about that. That's all.
I'll make a motion to accept 5A through C.
Okay. Is there any public comment? Hearing none. I've got a motion. You second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. We'll go to it'll be item D, correct?
Yes. So my question is just this. Looking at net position, it looked like the overall net position, I'm on page 8 of the Fresno Local Agency Formation Commission Statement of Revenues, page 8. It shows our net position dropping from the beginning of the year. Was that just timing of payments? I know that we made some adjustments every year to try to make sure that revenues that we collect are on par, at least with our expenses, and we always try to maintain a reserve. So I just was curious about the changes in fund balance being reduced by a little over $161,000. Was that an anomaly? Have we made correction? Because I don't want to burn through all of our cash.
No, absolutely. So that was a combination of, yes, there was some timing with the spending. That was Dave's last budget where we did catch a few discrepancies with that as well and made some adjustments. So they should equal more or less to what this is referring to. We're happy to dig deeper into it and get you a detailed report, but those a little bit of combination of those items.
Maybe at the next meeting you could do kind of an unaudited statement that just takes us to through today, since we're in 2025, of current position and then going from 2022, just go 2022, 23, 24, showing. And as long as there's not huge variances, I think we're good to go. That's all. That was my only question I have, and I'll move for approval of this statement after the public speaks.
Okay, is there any public comment? Hearing none, I got a motion on the floor.
Second.
You got a second? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, we'll move to item 6.
Item number 6 is amendment of sections 303 and 525 to commission policies.
So I'll go ahead and hit an overview of this, and then Jesse is available in case you have any legal questions that might relate to it. But in a nutshell, thanks to new state requirements, We are looking at altering a few of our policies here. The first is to adjust due to the Levine Act that has been raised from 250 to 500. So we will have to update a couple of our documents here. I believe it is our agendas. We'll have that new format. And then just for you all to be aware of that as well, it'll be in our policies. The second item is we have essentially a reinstatement of the indemnification requirements. Requires a little bit different language than what we had in the past, but more or less that's back on the table now so that we can require that. There was a brief period last year where we were not able to require it. We did not have any applications that didn't sign it, so we made it through without any issues, but that is back on the table now.
Just to clarify, just one point on the Levine Act updates. That we'll have to change. I believe there's a point in the application that also mentions disclosure requirements. And so we'll just have to update that as well.
That way applicants are aware of that new requirement too. You're right. Yeah.
So just with the Levine Act, that's dealing with the contributions, if we've received a contribution. So the challenge I have is we typically aren't notified when people are submitting applications. We only become aware of an item when it physically comes before this board and we can look to see if we have a conflict. So every time someone submits an application, are you going to, within that period of time, reach out to board members and say, hey, we got an application from...
So typically during the process, we do pull a list of registered voters and property owners. So we can circulate that to the commissioners for their review. If there's any other preferred method, we can reach out and get a list of your contributors as well, and we can cross-check that for you. However you guys wish to process that, we're more than happy to accommodate.
Because some of those annexations, you send mailings out to dozens and even over 100.
Some of them can be, it's quite the list. So if it's easier for us to check, you know, if you have a list of contributors that we can check with, we can do that.
This is a freaking nightmare.
Well, it does only apply to parties to an application, so the people's entities or people submitting the application, as well as participants who are actively supporting or opposing the particular application, and as well as their agents, so people, lobbyists or whomever that may have made donations. And they, at least the parties in the application, they are affirmatively required to disclose if they know that they've made a contribution to you.
Involved.
Well, where it gets tricky with this new provision, correct me if I'm wrong, is technically interested parties would be people who need to be annexed and they vote yes or no on the annexation. They become a interested party.
It's active participants. So if
they came here and spoke.
If they came here and spoke.
Yeah. And sometimes we don't know that until the actual day of the meeting.
Right. And then if you're alerted to that, then you would say, oh, hang on,
so that's why it's on the agenda. And then the only time that would come up is if the project did go to, like, election by protest, something like that. If we receive the protest,
maybe.
We can cross-check that. But
help to guide us up here as it relates to that. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other comments from the board? Is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board.
I'll make the motion to go ahead and approve items.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, so going to say an aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. We'll go to item six or seven.
Item number seven is LAFCO response to the Fresno County Civil Grand Jury Report number one for fiscal year 2023-24 on the Clovis Cemetery District.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the Commission. The Fresno County Civil Grand Jury issued report number one on May 1st, 2024 regarding the Clovis Cemetery District. The report identified seven key findings related to website, landscaping issues, compliance with the Brown Act, and financial concerns. The district has worked diligently by taking corrective actions to address these findings. After several months of coordination and monitoring, no additional LAFCO action is recommended by staff. Should the grand jury release any further information and/or actions needed, staff will provide any necessary follow-up. In light of these findings, LAFCO staff recommends the commission to receive and file this information as no action is necessary at this time.
Sounds good. So we need to make a motion to file it.
I think you just need
just an informational item.
Okay. We'll go to the next item.
Item number 8 is mid-year budget review and work program status for fiscal year 2024-25.
Thank you very much. I'll take this item. If you can switch to the next slide, please. This is just the mid-year budget check-in for the commission. In short, our revenues are coming in strong. We are 3% over. Something to take note of is that interest revenue. The rates are falling just a little bit. So even though we're at 6,000 so far, I don't quite expect that to double by the end of the year, but still anything is better than nothing. And our application fees are already have surpassed the 25,000 goal that we had. And we do have several more projects that are coming down the pipeline. So that should put us well over what we were aiming for as far as revenues. Expenditure, we are at 43% overall. So I think as long as we're under 50, we're doing quite all right. Some larger expenses that we anticipate towards the end of the year is the annual staff conference that we have for CalLAFCO. And then we did just wrap up our audit, so any remaining billing coming from that. Beyond that, everything else should be kind of as expected for what we have in the budget. Happy to answer any questions.
That's actually good news. Is there any questions from the board or? So we can move on.
This is also informational.
This is informational only, yes.
And then next month, I'll come back with the breakdown, Commissioner Maxig, of our year over year, how we're looking.
Item number 9 is staff salary analysis.
I'll go ahead and take this item as well. So our salary resolution is set to be renewed with a year from now, more or less. So we are a year early. With that said, we have been monitoring what different LAFCOs and the county and cities locally have been offering for similar positions. And so that has, we've basically fallen enough behind where we wanted to bring it up to the commission's attention to see if there is a need to update our salary resolution early, or commission feels we are okay waiting one more year. Taking a look at the analysis graph, analyst graph, the bottom line there is us, the blue line. Taking a look at the next line above that, I know the color is a little bit hard to see on the projector here, but the next one up is the County of Fresno, and their starting position is higher than our ending position. The dotted red line dash is the average between all of the items presented. The green line above that is the city of Fresno. And then for comparison purposes, we did also include Sacramento LAFCO, and those numbers were also adjusted for cost of living as well. So as you can see, we are below average as well as below comparable LAFCO, as well as the county of Fresno and the city of Fresno. Taking a look at analyst 2, it's not as large of a disparity, but we are still at the bottom below Sacramento LAFCO. And then the next highest would be City of Fresno, who are right about the average. And then, above us is the County of Fresno. And then at the very top is Sacramento LAFCO. It is also worth noting that for the previous slide and this one, the latest number Sacramento has is from 2015. So these are also 2015 numbers, which we did not adjust for inflation because we're trying to fit everything on one graph. But they would be significantly higher if we adjusted for that as well on that end. taking a look at the clerk position. It's not as drastic, but we are a little bit off average. At the very bottom is the clerk to the commission for Monterey LAFCO. That is 2022 numbers. We are also trying to reach out to them to figure out if that is perhaps like a part-time position, because that frankly comes out below minimum wage even. So we're trying to figure out what's going on there so we can give better comparison for the commission. But above that, the blue line is Fresno LAFCO, with the red dotted line as the average. And then at the very top is City of Fowler's comparison, who again, their starting is above both Monterey and Fresno LAFCO's ending positions. So with that in mind, just to give a snapshot of where our staff salaries fall, we wanted to present this informational item and see if commission has any direction for us, and answer any questions.
Okay, what do you guys want to do with this?
Well, let me make a note here, and it could be just me, but is there any way we can improve the visibility of it? Because it's hard to see what the numbers and all of that. So
turn half the light on.
Yeah, Aiden, do you mind? Aiden? Are you able to do that here? If that improves it drastically, I'm happy to go through them again.
No, okay. So that's better, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a lot better.
Otherwise, you're kind of glaring at light.
How much am I paying the clerk and filer? No, I'm just kidding.
So I guess the question I have for you, Brian, is anytime you do any form of salary survey, it has to be comparable. Apples to apples, right? And so typically you do not compare any Bay Area, coastal areas to Central Valley. You just don't. I mean, it's a very different, economic basis. So you want to be looking at comparable LAFCOs. So, I don't know what Bakersfield, Central Valley LAFCOs, is that really that's really your pool, mm-hmm. as compared to going too far out of your pool. So I didn't really see that in your salary survey here.
So the trick with trying to compare apples to apples as far as other LAFCOs, mm-hmm. Fresno is an interesting one, as we have pretty much one of the most districts to deal with. We have the most area of land that can be annexed. Most of the other LAFCOs, they're all the cities already built out up to each other, so there's nowhere else to expand to. They're dealing mostly policy work. We're one of the few LAFCOs left that has a laundry list of MSRs, annexations, all that stuff to deal with, as in general, much less the number of special districts that we have just in total. So trying to find something apples to apples, and then by the time you get something kind of comparable, now the population is different, or now you're in the Bay Area and the economy is different, right? So we try our best to get everything in the same ballpark. That's why I asked for staff, even for the Sacramento one. Okay, that's fine to get those numbers, but let's adjust for cost of living, right? Let's try to bring everything as equal as we can for comparison, short of asking the commission, hey, can we do an RFP and find a consultant and, pay them to do this for us to get something together for you guys to consider. Personally, I would rather recommend to use that money to bring salaries into a more comparable position. I don't think we're asking for the tippy top of anything. I think we're just looking to make sure that we're competitive. The other thing with trying to compare to other LAFCOs is that, yes, it might be a totally different economy, but when we look at the position descriptions, what an analyst does here, they can go to San Diego and do that same work, right? They still meet those position description requirements. So it's kind of like when you're dealing with the county and Caltrans, right? Caltrans is statewide. They got offices everywhere. And so when the county deals with their engineers trying to not be poached by Caltrans, how do you deal with that, right? Because Caltrans can offer significantly more, and what happens to the local talent there? So it's kind of a double-edged sword the more we look into it.
We understand everything you're saying, okay. So there's challenges, no doubt about it. So did we look at COG?
We did not look at Fresno COG, but we can look at that as well.
That's all I'm saying is that, you know, I think it's excellent to go ahead and look at, you know, agencies within Fresno County, because mm-hmm. that is really the competition, right? Mm-hmm. But again, we should be looking for as similar as possible, mm-hmm. when possible. You know, you may even want to consider, planners in like City of Clovis or, you know, something that's comparable in you know, work task, mm-hmm. just so that we have, you know, something to look at that's comparable. All I can tell you from my end is I need to take a closer look at what you've got.
Yeah, by all means. And I think, too, a part of this, if we receive any direction, we can also identify, okay, Commission, these are the agencies you want to see. These are the comparisons you guys want to look at, and we're more than happy to put that together.
And it probably wouldn't hurt to compare us to Kern and San Joaquin counties, who are larger counties, but they're not completely urbanized like some of the Bay Area counties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm actually okay with Sacramento, too. They're, what, 520 population, and I'm going by the cities, but we're at 540. We're at 1 million in the county. I don't know what the county of Sacramento is, but I think we're pretty close, probably.
Well, they're both considered urban counties.
Yeah.
So is San Joaquin.
Yeah, so I don't mind
throwing. And we are, too, believe it or not.
Well,
yeah.
I think that's...
throw those three.
At the end of the day, you look at it all and kind of figure out what makes sense. I mean, it's clear from what we see at this point is that we probably need to look at an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just a matter of where is it that we want to focus on,
mm-hmm.
kind of deal.
Yeah, because even taking the LAFCO part of it out of it, okay, we still have the county and the city of Fresno, like I said, where for us, for our top end of our range to be below the beginning of their range,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, that's basically what we wanted to highlight. As
best no, best. That's fair assessment.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Okay, so do I have direction to?
Yeah. Do you want them to bring back with more information? Next meeting?
I would say would not hurt to go out and do a little bit more research so that there's a greater level of comfort that we've looked at everything completely and then use that as a basis to start trying to give you some additional insight. I think it would be premature right now to just base it on this.
Yeah, no, ideally the idea is to get this in front of you now in case there is direction to make changes to the salary resolution to get that in front of the upcoming budget. That way that times out appropriately as well.
Have it done before.
Yeah, I like the county and I like the city because that's where we get poached. I mean, we had our other analysts that we brought back and
right.
they took them back. So I want to know who's going to take them and where and just want to be competitive.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that because we're giving them ideas.
They all know.
I know.
So just to clarify on my list for comparisons for next agenda, I have Fresno COG, Kern, San Joaquin, LAFCO's, County of Fresno, and City of Fresno.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I kind of agree with Mario when you got comparing to the city and the county. And our starting deal's that much lower. We need to take a look at it.
Yeah.
You want to look at total compensation, too. So I don't think you're part of FSERA. A 401k, which I believe we contribute to. So but you look at salary. I think you also need to be taking a look at total compensation of employees. So that's going to be health benefit contribution and then retirement contribution. Because most agencies, when you look at other public agencies, they have like a PERS retirement. Or some other defined benefit retirement where you don't. So all that needs to be taken into consideration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Just a quick question. This is for Magzik, who's a retirement expert here. Is the Fresno County system not as good as PERS?
It depends. If you are a...
No, I'm talking about if you're a Tier 5.
If you're a Tier 5, it is not as good as PERS.
Okay.
Post-PEPRA. So PEPRA has changed the formulas after 2013. So, yeah.
Okay. I knew you could answer that question. That's why I asked it.
Oh, yeah.
Fun fact, I missed Tier 4 by 3 months. Yeah.
So our employees are in which retirement system?
We have our
just
our
a 401k.
So we have a 401k, and then we have the Mission Square. What's the right name?
Yes.
Okay, they changed the name recently. So we have Mission Square, and then that's pretty much it, right? We have a deferred comp available, 457, but that's optional. And then the commission just pays a flat 10% into our regular retirement.
Okay. Yeah. Just have those numbers available.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll try to see.
Yeah.
We'll try to put together different pictures of here's kind of everything salary-wise and here's benefits-wise and go through all that with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move to item 10 then.
Right. So I'll bug you guys one more time. Executive Officer comments, taking a look at the February hearing. In addition to the items that we identified today, we have our regular minutes. We will also have a Clovis Municipal Service Review, the Raisin City Water District Municipal Service Review and Annexation, and then a Del Rey Community Service District, MSR. Originally, we were anticipating Raisin City Water District and James Irrigation District to come to some sort of agreement to move forward together. However, we just recently learned that they are not able to put together an agreement. So Chair Mendez, when we do our prep meeting, Jesse and I will go ahead and go through that with you and make sure we identify any potential curveballs you might be looking at and get you prepped.
Knowing them, they probably wouldn't come up with a solution to their problem.
Hopefully.
Pretty bitter.
Yeah, hopefully. We will also have, that's it for the February hearing that we're anticipating. You have your November and October financials in front of you. Since we last met, we did have one more service extension in Fresno. It was for extension of water services only at 3508 South Elm Avenue. It's a small community known as Elm Court Community. Taking a look at the next item, Cal-LAFCO dues. Just so the commission is aware, San Bernardino has notified Cal-LAFCO that they will not be renewing their membership. In addition to that, San Diego and Orange County LAFCO have put Cal-LAFCO on notice that they are considering their renewing their membership next year. I reached out to Cal-LAFCO about this. They said essentially, at the end of the day, as far as our dues would not be impacted, they're really only able to increase dues based off the CPI. So whatever that is, that's kind of their cap. They do technically have a mechanism to do like a one-time fee charge in addition, but they are not anticipating that coming up, nor do they feel they're close to that being an option on the table. So basically, just want to make sure you guys are aware of that. If anything comes up, there is a Cal-LAFCO board meeting this Friday, so I wanted to make sure that was on your radar.
Let us know. Hopefully it's not all the rats trying to jump off the ship.
Yeah, and what's funny is that, I guess not funny, but next year the annual conference is in San Diego, but I did confirm that regardless of whether San Diego renews or not, they will still have the conference in San Diego. Yeah. Just in case any of you are planning on attending that, you can keep that on your schedule. So,
how many members are left?
If all three of them exit, we should still have around 45, which is plenty. Cal-LAFCO confirmed that they have enough reserves so that we should be okay if up to 6 of the top tier paying counties exit. But if we reach that point, the question kind of becomes more, is Cal-LAFCO useful anymore, much less what does everybody's dues become?
So what's the reasoning for people to want to leave?
So there has been some recent issues with the legislative committee and a couple of some other smaller items. Cal-LAFCO decided to get rid of that committee altogether. due to some concerns that were raised. A lot of the EOs are not pleased with that and have voiced their concerns, the biggest of which being San Bernardino, San Diego, and Orange County. It is a valuable resource to have that committee, and CalAFCO is considering actions to reinstate it, get it back on track. So in my opinion, you know, was it a little bit premature just to cut it entirely? Probably yes. But with that said, you know, to basically go out and say, I'm threatening to not renew my membership seems a little bit drastic before you give them a chance to right the ship. So I kind of held back on voicing any of my concerns just yet.
All righty. I'll move to item 11. Is there any comments from the commissioners? Nope. Hearing none. I'll move for my favorite. One is 12. We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, so we're saying aye.
Aye.
With that, we're adjourned.